Peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio and episode 36. Thank you for being a part of the show and in the home stretch of our Advent journey. And I want to do a Christmas show that will air and just in time, hopefully for Christmas. But before that, I had to do episode 36 today because we just got back from a family retreat and there are so many things bubbling up that I just had to make room for an extra episode. So I hope that's okay. And we'll, of course, try to also make sure that we get the Christmas show in as well. But in this episode, I have another movie recommendation to share with you. Also, some other goodies sprinkled in, and we want to talk about the retreat that we just went on as a family. I'll share that with you coming up. First things first, though, we have lots of thanks to get to.
Thank you,
and God bless you to a Hider, a one, Tara Marissa, who also was kind enough to send feedback and a double ya-ya for that. Okay, she says, hi, Brooke, your podcast is a huge blessing to me. I love to listen to it while I'm doing chores at home or on my headphones at work. I wish there were tons more episodes, but I know it takes a lot of effort behind the scenes. Appreciate your prayers for the Pesta family, and the Taylor family will be in ours as well. Oh, God bless you. Thank you. And yes, you are already in our prayers, along with Barb Gibbs and our other Podbean patrons, everyone who has taken the time to be a Good Things Radio good friend using the Podbean program and supporting the show to keep it going. As always, we pray and have prayed for our supporters, Lil Nessie, Vanessa, and Alvarito, Darcy Hauser, Bauer Physics, Georgia Jenny, who I'm sure you know as well right now, that are also receiving personal prayer as well as a CD just for being a patron to the show. It's called Pray With Me, a Treasury of Catholic Family Prayers from now until Christmas, a little while longer. If you sign up to be a patron, you'll receive that CD. And basically, again, how it works is it's just a tip jar program that is a tremendous blessing, but that says if you like the show, you can support it by pledging whatever from $1 a show to $10 a month, whatever the case might be. There's no minimum or maximum. In return, you are a good friend to Good Things Radio. You are a patron and you keep the show growing and going. So thank you so much. And you can find that by going to podbean.com and then just search Good Things Radio. I've got the app. You can find it online. And you can also sign up for our newsletter, receive updates that way. And of course, your feedback. We love that. Feedback at goodthingsradio.com. That's also how you can reach us. So as we start the show, number 36 today, let's kick off, if you would, join me in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, amidst the sounds of Christmas and the ringing of the bells and the singing of the carols, we recall you, that you were born at a moment when all things were in stillness. While our hearts are full of the sounds and excitement of Christmas, Lord, help us to create in our hearts small, silent places for you to be born again in us. May we learn the secret of Bethlehem, Lord, that you choose the small and simple, the quiet and hidden places for divine visitations. May we create a Bethlehem of stillness in our hurried lives, lest there be no room for God to come and stay. Stay with us, Lord, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this is a little bit of how our evenings have sounded over the last few days, which could not be more different than the normal night noise in our home, that is for sure. But that's the sound of night prayer, and more specifically, the O Antiphons, which the church has been singing least since the 8th century. That's how far back it goes in the Catholic tradition. But they're sung from December the 17th to the 23rd. And they call on the different names of Jesus. It's such a beautiful, ancient, biblic imagery that's used. It's drawn from the hope of the Old Testament, the messianic hope. It's just fantastic. So we were blessed to stay with the Children of Mary. And it's a convent located in Newark, Ohio. It's by Columbus. And it's a small farmhouse that we stayed on. And about 100 acres of land, just to kind of set the mental image for you. And I really don't know where to start with this because it was so wonderful, even though it was just for a few days. And I was a little apprehensive, truthfully, about the timing of the trip because it is so close to Christmas. And I knew very well, for obvious reasons, that this would be a good thing for our family. But also the reality of there's a lot of last minute practical things to do to get ready for Christmas. But it was a wonderful experience. And so before I kind of get into the actual nuts and bolts and unpack what we learned, I want to back up a little bit and share a movie review because it actually came into play during our retreat. And a friend of mine, it was actually after the movie that we went to with the book club for the letters. And I was talking to my friend Connie, and she said that the movie Ragamuffin is now out on Netflix. And I couldn't believe that she knew before I did, because Ragamuffin is the story of Rich Mullins. Rich Mullins, an incredible, beautiful music artist, Christian writer of songs like Our God is an Awesome God and Sing Praises to the Lord, Creed, so many songs. If I Stand, he has so many. But he died in 1999. It was in a car accident. Just days, a lot of people don't know this, just days before he was to receive communion for the first time as a Catholic. He was an RCIA, which is a process, a program to become Catholic. Before he died, he lived on an Indian reservation. And the movie doesn't really touch on that except for his obvious devotion to St. Francis of Assisi, which he had most of his adult life. But Rich Mullins, just a fantastic movie. And that came into play because we saw the film before we went on our retreat. And I want to just play the trailer for you now because it's so good. And it's on Netflix streaming, so you can find it easily if you've got that feature, if you've got Netflix. But it's just called Ragamuffin. And take a listen to the trailer. It's about 2 minutes long.
I hate being different. I don't belong here.
God's got big plans for you. I know it. You are going to do great things one day.
He's our oldest boy, Neva. If he doesn't learn, how's he going to take over the farm one day?
Maybe he's not meant for the farm.
Oh, you play?
He's incredible. He's pretty good. I love it.
He's definitely got it.
I want to do this one.
Amy Grant heard your song, Sing Praise to the Lord. She wants to use it on her next album.
This is a game changer.
I'm not really sure I want my game to be changed.
Looking for being famous.
No, I'm not trying to be a Christian pop star. I'm just trying to say something true.
I know that this will go against all the teachings of all the popular evangelical preachers.
How disrespectful would it be to not be honest with the church?
All this talking you've been doing at your concerts, that's got to stop. You're there to make fans, not enemies.
You sure don't like to play by the rules, do you?
Amy, I don't even know what the rules are.
You don't belong here.
Yes, I do. If you're there, I do.
He has more talent than anyone I've ever seen. What if he never gets off the ground?
Christianity isn't about finding an absolutely secure niche in the world. Christianity is about learning how to love like Jesus.
I expected to be this voice of hope. People want me to be perfect, but I'm not.
Oh, I know. Ragamuffin knows he's only a beggar at the door of God's mercy.
I am now utterly convinced that on Judgment Day, the Lord Jesus will ask one question and only one question. Did you believe that I loved you?
Okay, so great movie. And I mean, I will say it's not necessarily a film for young kids because Rich's alcoholism is played out. That can be a little bit disturbing, but, you know, it was reality. It was part of his story. And the truth that he was broken, that he was troubled, that he had a lot of demons that he struggled with, from feeling rejection from his father to just a lot of his own faith journey, feeling that dark night of the soul as if God didn't love him. And the movie doesn't shy away from that, which I really like. And honestly, I think as a young woman, that's what brought me to his music. I could relate to his writings and his songs. And it's really funny because in the movie, there is a scene with the record reps where they're saying, "Man, dude, can't you write a little bit happy music? I mean, Christians should be happy and you're really deep and kind of dark." And I really relate to that because I know, let's just take Christmas, this particular time of year, for all of the years that I've been on radio since I've been about 14 years old, but particularly in Christian format radio, around Christmas time and doing a morning show, morning shows are fun and they're upbeat and they're filled with games and laughter. And I always think of those who are suffering this time of year. It is a very intense time emotionally. And so I would always want to do bits that would speak to those hurting. And my morning show co-host Len, such a great guy, would always be like, "You know, can we just not? Can we just help people smile and laugh? We don't want them sobbing by 7 a.m. And so I really think, though, that some of us are just more melancholic. And it's not a bad thing. It's just how God makes us. You need that balance. But that was definitely Rich Mullins. He was more of the deep feeler, more of the contemplative, complex person. So the movie's good because it really unpacks that. And he's a very different person in terms of, you know, a lot of the characters, whether it's on film or the stories of the saints, they're easy to like. And he's not always easy to like when you watch this movie or you get to know his story. But such a beautiful soul, such a lot to give, such an inspiration. So I highly recommend that movie. It's called Ragamuffin. And there's a quote that you just heard from that trailer where it says, "A ragamuffin knows he's only a beggar at the door of God's mercy." That quote is from Brendan Manning. Now, I had never even heard of Brendan Manning. Maybe you have. I didn't until my neighbor, she's an evangelical, she told me that he is the person that Rich Mullins was so inspired by. He wrote the Ragamuffin Gospel, which is then where Rich Mullins got his band name, because that was written by Brendan Manning. And so then, of course, I had to go on this odyssey, this expedition of Brendan Manning, and who is this? And oh my, what a story. There was a YouTube video that I just found listening to his sermons, and his story is really interesting. He was a Franciscan, and then he became a prisoner in Switzerland, and only the warden knew that he was actually a priest because he didn't want to just come in and minister. He wanted to live as a prisoner and be able to share the gospel in that way. He lived in a cave for a while, which is actually what I want to share with you, a little story about that. So the point is that with Brendan Manning, his sermon is what we listen to in the 2-hour drive to go to this retreat, because I knew the kids would want to watch Mr. Bean or Elf or something like that, and really not having an understanding of what a retreat is. I mean, for myself, I think you can only have the expectation, but you don't really have the depth of knowledge of what a retreat is until you get there and you find out what God has waiting for you. That's, on a side note, one of the reasons I'm so excited about Arise, the Good Things Radio Retreat. But for this in particular, it was a whole new experience. You've got a 4-year-old who really doesn't even know what retreat means, all the way up to a 14-year-old in my oldest son, who has kind of a clue with being involved in Steubenville, but not how it relates to him and our family. So we played a little bit of this Brendan Manning clip just to get them thinking, just to kind of quicken their hearts and open them up to what maybe the Lord might be telling them. And I want to share this with you because I think it's pretty cool. It's a few minutes long, and it's about Brendan Manning, and actually one of the sermons that so deeply touched Rich Mullins himself. And to reflect on his words, take a listen.
But I'd like to close by sharing with you the decisive moment in my own journey with Jesus of Nazareth. In the winter of 1968, I was living in the Zaragoza Desert in Spain, in a cave some 6,000 feet above the sea. I was there for 7 months in complete solitude, I never saw another human face, never heard the sound of a human voice. On Sundays, a man from the village of Farlete below came up on a burro, and he dropped off at a designated spot food, drinking water, kerosene for the lamp. As you entered the cave on the right, there was a little chapel with a stone altar, a tabernacle like a treasure chest, a tall standing crucifix behind the altar. On the left, there was a stone slab that served as a bed, a few potato sacks for a mattress, a sterno stove to cook with, the kerosene lamp. I get up every night at 2 a.m. for what we used to call in the old church nocturnal adoration. I go to the chapel and try and spend at least 1 hour in praise and thanksgiving to God. On the night of December 13th, 1968, during what began as a long and lonely hour of prayer, I heard in faith Jesus Christ say, "For love of you, I left my Father's side, and I came to you who ran from me, who fled me, who did not want to hear my name. For you I was covered with spit, punched, beaten, and fixed to the wood of the cross." My friends, that was over 35 years ago. And this morning, in an hour of quiet time at the motel, I realized those words are still burned on my life. That night in the cave, I looked at the crucifix a long time, figuratively saw the blood streaming from every wound and pore in Christ's body, and I heard the cry of his blood. This isn't a joke. It is not a laughing matter to me that I have loved you. The longer I looked, the more I realized that no man has ever loved me, and no woman could ever love me as he does. Out in the darkness, I shouted into the night, "Are you out of your mind to have loved me so much?" I learned that night that a beautiful old man told me the day I went in the seminary. I was 22 years old. He said, "Kid, you will not understand this now, but the day you experience the love in the heart of Jesus Christ, nothing else in the world will ever again seem that beautiful or desirable."
Now, it's hard to stop there, but at least it gives you a hint of his style and his history, too. And that clip, if you want to look it up, it's called "God Loves You As You Are, Not As You Should Be." And that gives you a little hint, as well as that clip you just heard, as to the fullness of what he talks about, because it's good and it's worth listening to. So that really set the tone for us to get into a retreat mindset. And as I mentioned, we visited the Children of Mary. It's in Newark, Ohio, and it's near Columbus. So it's a farmhouse. And it was a very basic farmhouse because it had just kind of a frame of a bed and it had a wood burning stove. So, and you know, we brought our food. There were chickens and we gathered the eggs in the morning. There were goats and there was a little dog named Sophie that was already, it was nice. It was kind of like being dropped into Little House on the Prairie, but we didn't actually have to build the house or the coop. It was just all there. And they had outdoor stations of the cross. So all of these things were just ready for you to receive. They had a chapel and the nuns sing the Divine Office, the Liturgy of the Hours. That's beautiful. And I took notes. So I wanted to share just a few of those takeaways with you. We had a chance to meet with Wes Baker. He's a speaker, just a wonderful person. He and his wife and kids live on the land. And an amazing, you know, lifestyle. She's had all of their children's at home. Oh boy, I'm turning Southern all of a sudden. And she's also homeschooling. So it's just a great way that they live very authentically. And so they came and talked to our family, Wes in particular. But one of the main takeaways that he shared was creating what's called a cloistered home. And cloistered is shut in. That's kind of the Latin root of it. And, you know, that's what a convent is. It's a fixed dwelling place where religious live according to their rule. And that's kind of what we want for our families, isn't it? We want a place that they are closed off from the influences of the world that are really damaging. And it's not that we're afraid or that we're being helicopter parents, but that we are purifying and preparing them, forming them in a way that when they go out, they'll have this ability to bloom. And I want to be careful also not to dilute the importance of true contemplative cloisters, but, you know, instead hold it up as a model so that we can follow in our home. So I did some digging and I found an apostolic letter. It's called Verbi Sponsa, which means bride of the word. And it's a document that lays out why. And I just thought it would help kind of apply it to our own homes, whatever that might look like, whether you're single or you've got eight kids and you work full time and you're just trying to get food on the table every day. This is what it looks like. The solitary cell, the closed cloister, are the places where the nun, bride of the incarnate word, lives wholly concentrated with Christ in God. Wouldn't that be great if that could be what we create our homes to be? The enclosure, therefore, even in its physical form, is a special way of being with the Lord, of sharing in Christ's emptying of himself by means of radical poverty expressed in renunciation not only of things, but also of space, of contacts, of so many benefits of creation. At one with fruitful silence of the word on the cross, it is clear then that withdrawal from the world in order to dedicate oneself in solitude to a more intense life of prayer is nothing other than a special way of living and expressing the paschal mystery of Christ. It is a true encounter with the risen Lord, a journey in ceaseless ascent to the Father's house. Oh my, I would love to blow that up and post it. Ceaseless ascent. Wouldn't that be a dream? I mean, we seek that every day. It's like, I just want to go up and I keep falling down. And it's really about the environment that you create and bringing grace in and creating this atmosphere of peace. I think the relatable there is that we are all called to a true encounter with the risen Lord and a special way of living different than the world in our families. So I think there's something from that. A convent is a special place of peace and holiness and prayer. So that's the challenge for me, for myself, for our family, I believe. How can we bring in peace to our homes and not just in the atmosphere, but also our hearts? Because so often I start the day with that intention, but by the time the kids get home from school, and we've talked about this before, whether it's feedback received or words that I've shared, that it's just this bubble that's been bursted and I'm in tears. And depending on, you know, the hormonal ups and downs, which is a reality for me, it really can be, you know, a walk every day, every hour of faith and trust. I think it's also about living in peace and not letting things ruffle our feathers. That don't sweat the small stuff adage, I think, is true. And to not let things in that would damage our souls or our family. And that could be technology, behaviors, because Satan is very good at infiltrating from the inside. Satan is very good at infiltrating from the inside, of getting through in screens or sarcasm or stress. And I say that as much for myself as kind of a declaration that I believe to be true, because I think it's especially important with kids, even being on break now, to be on guard about that. And that's my challenge, is greater peace in our home. And how can we really, really do that? And the nice thing is, it kind of coincides with this being the year of mercy. So it's a lot of opportunity to be merciful and then in turn bring peace. And we talked about that. We had a family meeting before we left the farmhouse at the end of our retreat. Like, okay, guys, we're going to have a resolution. And what I like about this is, whether you go on a retreat or not, this is a good time of year to think about that. Not just to have a personal resolution, but a family resolution to sit down and really think about, what do we want the next year to look like? What do we want our family to look like? And everybody could agree that we could use a little bit more peace in our house, because when there's tension, we all feel it. And a lot of times what happens is, if the kids are arguing or bickering or picking at each other, which happens a lot now, especially that they're home off of school, it elevates the tension for my husband and I, and the kids can feel it. So we tried to kind of call that out and recognize that it is an issue that we need to work on. The nice thing about kind of having this special retreat time is I was able as a mom to go through and give each one of my children examples as to what their qualities are and how they could use their qualities to be more merciful. Like my son Grant, he has a great sense of humor and he has the ability to bring laughter to a situation. So to try to make a sibling laugh when he's tempted to punch them in the face or to do something, because boys are more physical, maybe it's just mine, but they are tempted to solve things physically. And that's what I'm trying to get around, you know, to say we don't do that as adults. Dad and I don't do that. And every family is different with their own set of challenges and their own difficulties to overcome. But I felt like the takeaway was that peace and mercy, and of course, all wrapped together in a bow of love, is where it starts. And honestly, for myself, sometimes it's just as simple as putting on some worship music or telling myself it doesn't matter. If it's me getting upset, that it just isn't worth getting irritated. It's funny when you tell God that you're going to work on something that you feel he's asking you to improve on, because he gives you opportunities right away. That's what I have found. And even as we were leaving the retreat, this is the most insignificant, silly thing, but it was an opportunity I learned, is that it started raining on the way home. And my husband, for some reason, just does not ever feel the need to turn on the windshield wipers when it starts raining until you cannot see, or I can't see. I guess he can see. And I'm, you know, always like, you need to turn the windshield wipers on. Why don't you have them on yet? And he is driving and I'm being the backseat commentator. And so this just little thing, I just didn't say anything. I thought he will turn the wipers on when he needs to. And sure enough, he did. It's just the way it is. So I think there's always opportunities, and that's a little silly one, but to big things, big struggles in life that we deal with. And then finally, one takeaway. Last takeaway that I wanted to share from the retreat is something that I learned to see differently, and I wanted to share it with you. It's a quote from Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and I pulled up a little snippet from an interview where she touches on this a little bit. In 1974, on an interview with a woman from Ireland, take a listen.
Unwantedness, unloved, even in our own homes, we may have somebody who is handicapped like that, and nobody takes any notice. Nobody even recognizes that there is this child, this man, this woman, who is hungry for love, hungry to be recognized and to accept with respect and love the person.
So that idea of recognizing Jesus in the distressing disguise of the poor is true. But what she says there, that the distressing disguise of poverty takes on different forms. And what does that look like in your life? What does that look like in my home? For me, I could say to see Jesus in the distressing disguise of autism. Because it is distressing sometimes, and it makes me cry and it breaks my heart. And I do see Jesus in my daughter, but I also need to recognize his smile and his love in that moment. Or it may be Alzheimer's disease or depression or whatever the case might be. In the distressing disguise of our children, quite honestly, some days. But that is precisely when we draw closest to them, because that's when Jesus is speaking to us, calling us, and needing us the most. Just some thoughts. Thank you so much for allowing me to share them with you today. Thank you, as always, for being a part of Good Things Radio. If you'd like Good Things Radio to continue, please, again, consider becoming a GTR Good Friend. And thank you, each and every one of you who've become patrons so far. I'll post the information on our next newsletter. But again, you can also download that Podbean app, go to iTunes, hit the subscribe button. And when you do, if you'd kindly leave a review, I'd appreciate it. Tell us what you think of the show. That helps others find the show as well. And as always, your feedback means so much. You can take the time to drop us a note at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's how you can reach out and share your input. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studios, for his amazing, awesome, tireless work. He is a producer extraordinaire. You can find him at cumminghomestudios.com. And if you would, let's end in prayer if you'd join me. Oh Lord, we scan the night skies crowded with stars as we prepare our gifts for the feast of Christmas. Like the Magi, let us be busy selecting the gifts we wish to offer you, the child of glory, for your desires are simple. Your desires are only for us to give our heart. May we invest our hearts with great love for you, our neighbor, for those who need you most in our homes and in our lives. Help us to clothe each gesture in compassion, peace, patience, and love. Give us peace as we sing to the stars through our gifts of good deeds to you, the light of the world. Amen.
And can you hear the air?